Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Listen, if you've been waiting for the death spike, if you will, into Big Baller Brand, I think you got it now. Alonzo Ball is wearing Nike. Right, but Big Baller Brand, that was big and touted. You got to be a big baller, according to LeVar Ball. You can't be a big yet. You can't wear the shoes or the shirt or the hoodie or the hat unless you're a big baller. Had a clearance sale the other day. $5 got you a lot of stuff. $100, holy cow. $100 at their clearance sale got you shoes, a hoodie, a t-shirt, and some socks. Yes, even some socks. Remember the $495 shoes, but you had to order them and they were going to be shipped to you? Yeah, that was, I think people bought them for like a collection. Like, I don't think anybody went, oh man, these shoes, I got to have these shoes. I think they were like, listen, I collect sneakers. I get all sorts of sneakers. Some I don't like, some I do like, but I get as many of them as I can. I like sneakers. I want to have it to be part of my collection.
And they're smart. Yeah. Because 15 years from now, I think that is, I'm telling you, they're going to start selling as a collection item.
I think you're right. We tend to do this. We think things are dumb and silly and stupid. And then 15 years later, people go, nah, man, I want to be one of the few people that still have that around. So, but what a just, and here's the deal. The pictures that were on Twitter of this Big Baller clearance sale, it looked awful. I mean, it looked awful. Like the sign was just this whiteboard where it was just written out clearance sale, cash only, you know, hoodies $15, t-shirts $5, shirts $20. I mean, how much was he selling those Big Baller t-shirts for? I think they were going for $50 at one point. Again, the $100 hat, a Big Baller hat is $5. But the $100 package deal of shoes, hoodie, t-shirts, and socks. I don't know. Like, something tells me if I had $100 just in my wallet, just ready to burn, I might have just picked that stuff up as a goof.
Making LeAngelo stand out there was a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, right? Making him stand out there selling this stuff. That was very embarrassing. It's dead.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio on SB Nation AM. I'm glad you could be with us. Mr. Cruise along on a Wednesday. British Open starts Thursday in Northern Ireland. Final golf major of the year. So weird to say that. But they moved the PGA from August until to May. So now the golf season majors wrap up. And for a lot of you, if you're just a casual golf fan, that means your time with the sport is kind of over. Because even if you're a golf fanatic, does anybody understand how the FedEx Cup playoff works? I barely understand how the NASCAR playoff works. I got to figure out golf. But yeah, golf, they're spending more time on the FedEx Cup so they can get it all wrapped up before the football season, which they feel they lose a lot of interest during that. Duh. And now they're trying to wrap up their season earlier so that they can gain attention for this really, really big deal. Speaking of big deal, it's the biggest fight of the summer. Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, Filipino senator and WBA welterweight champion and boxing's only 8-division world champ, returns to face undefeated super WBA welterweight world champion Keith One-Time Thurman. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada, to become a legend, you have to beat a legend. It is this Saturday, July 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's live on pay-per-view. Order on the Fox Sports app. One of the greatest fighters fighters of our generation, puts his legacy on the line in the can't-miss fight of the summer. It's Manny Pacquiao against Keith Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship, again, Saturday, July 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, live on pay-per-view, and you can order it on the Fox Sports app. Also, we're going to be giving away a signed glove from the fight this week, so stay tuned to SB Nation Radio for more details on how you can win that cherished item. All right, speaking of the British Open, Tiger Woods met the media yesterday as he's getting ready to compete in the major championship, and he had a lot of praise for Brooks Koepka. Now, Koepka's winning U.S. Opens and PGAs, beat Tiger last year at Bellerive in St. Louis in the PGA Championship. Koepka won the PGA this year. Koepka's been on fire, just been on fire. But the major championships are where it's at for him, right? He understands how this sport is really played. It's not played at the FedEx St. Jude Classic, no offense to that tournament in Memphis. It's a great tournament, but it's done at Augusta National. It's done at the U.S. Open. It's done at the PGA and the British Open. That's where it's done. So Tiger's been talking about how great Brooks Koepka has been and how phenomenal he's played. And he said before one of the tournaments, I think it was the Memorial, he asked Koepka, you know, to play a practice round, you know, so you want to play a practice round together. And he goes, I heard back nothing. So it sounded like Koepka had been dissing Tiger Woods, left Tiger Woods out. I didn't want to practice with him. When Koepka was asked about this, he had the ultimate Allen Iverson type response. He said he only practices before majors. When it's a regular tournament, he doesn't practice. Great comment. Great comment. Because it goes to, you know, a heart of basically the honesty of your work, right? Kepka's like, listen, if I show up for the Travelers, you think I'm spending my Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoon pitching and putting and learning angles for the golf course? No! I'm going to hit the ball, I'm going to try to score, and I'm going to get the hell out of there. Now, if I'm at a major, I'm going to spend time working the greens, working the angles, where does this tee shot have to go, should I lay up here, what's the best way to attack a flag, all of those things. But when I'm on a regular stop, no, I'm working out, I'm lifting weights, I got a super hot girlfriend, you think I'm spending my Tuesday hitting balls on the driving range, are you nuts? I kind of love that about Koepka, right? Because, you know, these guys, I mean, they work so hard. Mickelson, I read this article about Mickelson. Now, Mickelson's been a pro golfer since, what, 92? Right? I mean, he's been pro golfer forever. And actually, he just got an award yesterday, which is really cool. He got an award yesterday by the World Golf Ranking Organization, kind of the organization that puts the World Golf Rankings together. Mickelson, since his runner-up finish at an event in Japan in 1993, I think that's like 26 years ago, he has never been out of the top 50 in the world rankings. He has never hit a slump that has put him outside of the top 50. Since the world rankings began, he's the only golfer to do that, longest stretch of weeks in the top 50 of anybody in the history of the sport since they began this ranking system. And so we got a crystal award for this. But Mickelson, I read this article where they went to Mickelson's home, right, in Rancho Santa Fe, California. And he bought, property in California is so expensive, and Mickelson's got so much money to burn, it's crazy. He bought all this property, right, and he built himself a driving range out of his house, like in the backyard of his house, is this humongous practice facility. Now, he can't hit long irons or driver, but he can hit irons to different pins that he's got out in his driving range. But he also has four putting greens, and each one of those putting greens can be manipulated to speeds that he thinks a tournament will have for that week. So he can get ready for the Masters, for example, by getting his putting greens to the same level, same speed that they have at Augusta National. Same thing with the British Open. He can bring in different kinds of sand, et cetera. And he was talking about this. This is how he lives. He practices. He learns angles. He's still learning about the game. He was talking in this article about he found a new way for rotation on the ball, the way he likes the ball to rotate coming off his putter. And he's been experimenting with three or four different kinds of grips that allow the putter to. This, at least from what I'm getting from Brooks Koepka, this is way out of Brooks Koepka's range. Like, oh, what are you not? Ah, what? What are you doing? Hit the ball, go to the ball, hit it again, put it in the hole, be done. I like that simplistic approach.
I like Kepka's approach better, for sure.
I do too. Yeah. I like it better. It's just much easier. It's like, this isn't that difficult. Golf is a hard sport.
It is.
Right?
It's a really, really hard sport. Talk about my plus 70 last time I played.
It's a hard sport. But let me just say this. When you're on the upper level, like when you're a professional, what you're trying to do is it's really muscle memory. It's developing muscle memory so that every time you stand over the ball, your body just does what it's supposed to. It's like when you see NBA guys hit free throws, right? It doesn't matter what the pressure situation is. It doesn't matter how tired they are. It doesn't matter if it's the first quarter or with no time on the clock. They're relying on muscle memory because that is the one thing that they can practice their whole life. It's 15 feet out, 10 feet up, and it's been that way since they were 5 years old, right? So they're trying to, and golfers do the same thing. When a guy stands over a 7-iron at the professional level, he may want to draw it, he may want to fade it, but whatever he's committed to, then he relies on his muscle memory to swing through the golf ball with the same swing. And Kepka's just simplifying the process by going, yeah, that's what we do. That's what I do. I hit the ball, I go get the ball, I hit it again. Right? And, Mickelson is a science geek, if you will. I mean, he loves that stuff. He's not Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, he's not famous for that. But he loves that stuff. I mean, Mickelson loves... There's a YouTube clip of Mickelson talking to David Faraday about what he thinks about when he gets to the ball, all right? And I'd love to find it because it's I'm going to paraphrase it, but I wish I could get it. He talks about, he goes, well, when I get to the ball, I see what lie it's in. And if it's wet, I know the ball is going to go 5 yards a little shorter. If the ball is kind of propped up on the grass, I know I'm going to get a flyer out of that. That's probably going to go about 3 or 4 yards further. I need to see what kind of angle the lie is at so I know what kind of spin. Do I need to hit a low shot where I'm going to get more spin or a higher shot where I'm going to get a higher spin? And I'm thinking about also the club face and where my stance is. I mean, he's basically saying when he gets to the ball, his computer brain is just ripping through all these algorithms to try to figure out what he's got to do to hit a simple 9-iron 152 yards. And you just get the feeling Kepka's like, yeah, how far? 152? Yeah, 9. Give it to me. Here you go. Bam! And 2 feet from the hole. Let's go. Like, that's the vibe Kepka gives off. Now, maybe in Kepka's brain, where he doesn't want us to go, he's doing the same exact calculations, but I just don't feel like it is. I just don't feel like it.
Maybe that's why he's so good at what he does. He doesn't overthink shots and stuff like that.
Just goes, hey, look, what is it? What is it? 210. What's that for me? 6-iron. Great, then give me the 6-iron. What are we doing here?
Yeah, just hand it to me, all right? Just give me the stick and let me hit the ball.
I'll swing at it, and then we'll go get it, which will probably be near the cup. I did this one time when I was playing golf. I was playing, and there was a time where I was playing pretty well. Like I was really getting decent at the game. I was putting a lot of work into it. I was studying it, and I'm not a scratch golfer by any means. But it was a time in my early 20s. I was playing single digit handicap golf. I was shooting in the 70s, not anymore. But and I remember I was playing one guy who was a pretty good golfer, and we were good friends. And I had this drive over in the rough, and it was kind of a weird angle, but I mean, I was just like, I think I can get a good club on it. It was like a 7-iron or something like that. When I hit it, I knew I hit it outstanding. It's one of the, everyone has felt that, right? Where you've had that one shot, you knew, I caught this on the screws. I got this right. This thing was laser beaming towards the flag. I mean, it was right. It was perfectly hit. I knew I had the right distance. And my buddy looks up and he goes, where is it? I don't see it. And I go, watch the pin. Bam. And it like landed like a foot away from the hole. It's my only cool moment in golf.
Your walk-off moment?
I was my walk-off moment. And that happened 20 plus years ago. And I have yet to duplicate that in any situation since. I thought that could have been my calling card, right? Like I thought, oh, if I get good at this game, that's going to be my thing. Watch the pin. Nah, haven't been able to reproduce that. But that was my. But what made it cool is it came off the top of my head, and it just felt cool to say that and have all the two other guys in our foursome go, oh, like I really stuck it to my friend, I mean, and it produced the result I wanted.
When you're on, I mean, you're in the zone. Like,
it's the best.
Say everything that you do is cool. I bet that walk towards the pin or that drive towards the pin was the coolest drive.
It was the best. And I did make the putt. I think I probably got an 8 on the next hole or whatever it was. But for one brief moment, it was the coolest feeling in the world. For one brief moment, I was like, this is it. This is what it feels like to play in front of a gallery and hit great shots. This is the closest I'm ever going to get to this.
Should have had one shiny moment in the back.
Yeah. Oh, God. I only played one time. I played in a media event that was not, it wasn't watched by a lot of people, but we had some celebrities in the tournament. And so some people came out to watch us play. And it's not my thing, man. Playing golf in front of people is not my, especially, here's the deal. When nobody was there to see me. Nobody was there to see me. Like, we were playing with two Broncos, former Bronco players, and that was kind of cool. And so, you know, people were coming out. It was for charity. And so it was more of like, there's going to be this golf tournament. You can watch them play golf. And then there's going to be this big dinner auction, meet and greet, get some autographs, you know, silent auction, raise money for charity. They invited a bunch of us media guys. It was in Denver, a bunch of us media guys to come out and play. Nobody was there to see me, but, you know, they're watching you. You know, they're not watching me. They're watching Tyler Palumbus, right? Hit a shot. They didn't care about me. They didn't even know who I was.
I can't imagine
They're just watching like Tyler Palumbus hit. But you know, when it's your turn to hit, it's your turn to hit, right? They could be watching the Bronco players, but still they're not doing anything. They're sitting in the golf cart. I'm hitting and I got to do it in front of about 20 people. It was a little nerve wracking.
I hate the old man who like stand behind me while I'm trying to tee off.
Oh, that drives me nuts. Like the starters were like, all right, you can go now. Go ahead, young man. You're good. I'll just stand right here and criticize your shot if you don't mind. You're like, go away. Don't you have something to do? Don't you have a course to monitor or something? Get out of here. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio. British Open again starts Thursday. Good for Brooks Koepka. I'm kind of rallying around him now. Good for Brooks. SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the NFL training camps begin next week to this week. Actually, today, Denver's reporting to camp, and this is the first team to check in. They're doing it because they've got August 1st, Hall of Fame game date in Canton, Ohio against the Atlanta Falcons. So they get to come in a little early. I think the Falcons will check in a little early too. I think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Tough for the Broncos to overcome a 6-10 season, but they will go in with the new head coach in Vic Fangio and, of course, Joe Flacco, who they acquired. The Bronco quarterback situation has been well documented since Peyton Manning retired, and they haven't been able to settle on a good one, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things is, even if Joe Flacco plays pretty decently, this is a very tough division. I mean, Oakland could be better than their 4-12 mark. The Chargers should be good. The Kansas City Chiefs should be good, even though the defense has gone through a real overhaul. It's just too difficult of a division to feel like it's just Denver's to figure out. That's the one problem sometimes we have in football. Sometimes we have a team that was once very good or has a lot of good components, and as fans especially, we think if we just correct X, Y, and Z, well, it's ours to lose. It's not really yours to lose. I mean, Denver hasn't been relevant since winning the Super Bowl, haven't made the playoffs, and they haven't been able to settle on a quarterback. Is Flacco the answer? I know he's probably an upgrade over Case Keenum, but until I see it, and listen, we all do our prognostication and we all got our thoughts and opinions, but to me, you can't just bring in Joe Flacco and then expect me to just go, everything's okay. What makes Joe Flacco different than Case Keenum? All right, maybe better decisions in the fourth quarter that cost Denver some games last year, but I'm not thinking that the quarterback situation is fixed for a guy with relatively average regular season numbers. You get Flacco in the postseason, all right, fine. That's what he does. But until then, I don't think you've absolutely changed your quarterback perception. Now, if he comes out of the gate and he wins 5 out of 6 games, you know, they play really well. The defense is as good as we think it is, and it could be better under Fangio of a defensive scheme. And maybe Rick Scangarello, who's calling plays for the Broncos, all of a sudden is a genius at this position, even though it's his first year doing it. Great. Okay, fine. More power to you. But when you put me in a division with Kansas City and the Chargers and a better Oakland team, that I'm not ready to just go, yeah, the quarterback situation is fixed and Fangio and the other coaching hires for this team are all great. John Elway's really done, you know, hit a home run. Elway hasn't hit a home run until he finds his quarterback. Right? Case Keenum was supposed to be the answer. Case Keenum wasn't supposed to be one and done. Now he's going to sell us Joe Flacco. They've been selling us Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler before both of them, right? And all of this, nothing has panned out. Nothing has panned out. And that leads me to this next story. Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans is looking at his future with the team, and he's looking long-term. He's not 100% sure on Marcus Mariota. At least the organization isn't quite there yet. They haven't given him a contract extension off of his rookie deal from 2014. And they want to make sure that Mariota is healthy before they give him the big quarterback contract that locks you in. This is a real issue, right? Right now, Marcus Mariota is the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. There is no up-and-coming quarterback that's, you know, going to challenge him for the starting job. There's nobody in Nashville, where I live now, that is excited, you know, oh, wait till he takes over the reins. This is it. Mariota is it. But if the Titans don't want to extend him, don't want to give him the big money deal because they're looking 7 to 10 years down the road, and that's what Mike Vrabel was saying, and how much of a percentage of your cap space is going to belong to your quarterback in those years, and how it can handcuff you down the road if you're not sold on him. You got to find it. You got to either trade him or you cut him at a cost to you. Well, this is saying a lot to me. And then, and again, you got to make sure that position isn't just filled. And especially when you're signing a guy, you can get away with bringing in a guy for a year or two. And maybe that's the case with Flacco. I mean, Flacco, when he got to Denver, said, I'm not here to groom anybody. I'm not here to teach anybody. Remember what he said when Drew Lock got drafted back in April, right? I'm not here to teach anybody. I'm here to win games for this organization. Not here to be no mentor for somebody to take over the position. And there was a lot made out of that comment. But in reality, why would he say anything different? You know, why would he, in a very cutthroat industry, say, oh, no, I have no problems with that. No, I'll train him and coach him up so he can take my job and I can hold the clipboard. No, that's not how this works. You play and you doesn't matter who you play for. He has no loyalty to Denver. You know, Flacco is loyal to the people that, you know, basically puts him in a position to do what he wants to do. So if he's not going to start, he's going to want to go somewhere where he can start. I know that sounds selfish and it kind of goes against the whole team mentality, but that's the business of this sport. Now, guys aren't going to hold clipboards just because that's what they're supposed to do as a team. They'll do it until the season is over. Then you better find out what you want to do with your life. If you want to be a starter, go find a place to be a starter. But, you know, Mariota, is he in trouble? Well, not really, because the Titans don't have any other options. But that doesn't mean another option isn't out there and on the board somewhere down the road. You know, maybe in the draft or whatnot. But this is a team that is close to being on top of this division, right? Competing with the Colts. They're a pretty good team. Their defense is pretty good. But Mariota has been injured so much that they're not ready to make a commitment, which is funny because this is exactly what I said at the draft at that time when it was Jameis Winston and Mariota going 1 and 2. I remember at the time Zach Mettenberger, who's going to try out for the XFL for crying out loud, was the quarterback the Titans were really high on. And I remember saying Tennessee should probably trade that number 2 pick, get a bevy of other picks to take care of other needs, give that to a team that's looking for a new quarterback, because apparently Tennessee didn't want another quarterback. They had their guy. Well, no, they didn't. They wanted this guy. And immediately he became the face of the franchise, and he still is the face of the franchise. But they're not committed to him because the NFL, you pay your quarterback, you pay him a lot, You guarantee him money. You put yourself in a position to be arm in arm with him for the next few years. And I don't think the Titans are ready to do that with Mariota. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, Gio, filling in for Ron on good, bad, and the dumb. Do you like doing this, by the way? It's kind of neat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good idea. Whoever came up with it should get a raise.
I think it was Ron Culver. I'm going to give him all the credit in the world for that one.
Okay, well,
all right,
let's start.
Well, let's start with the good, man.
The good. You know what the world needs the most right now?
Love, sweet love?
That is something this man will say. More Bill Walton.
Oh, more Bill Walton, absolutely.
Yes, so Bill Walton, they are writing a book about him. And you might think this is like a documentary kind of book, like a biography. It's actually him solving mysteries. It's a mystery book about Bill Walton.
Wait a minute, Bill. So this is not going to be like some sort of in-depth biography on his time at UCLA and playing in Portland and later with the Celtics and all that?
No, it's way better. It's a new...
Him solving crimes?
Yes. A new book imagines Blazers legend Bill Walton as a detective solving kidnapping between announcing college basketball games.
So I get it. Okay, hold on. He is a broadcaster, but in between broadcasting, he solves murders, mysteries, or crimes.
Yes, with...
Okay, this is great.
Dave Pash, yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Oh, with Dave Pash?
Yep.
That's even better!
So him and Dave Pash, before they go and do Pac-12 games, are solving mysteries like Scooby-Doo. Okay,
this has 80s television series written all over it. Like, when you watched 80s TV shows, there was always a crime-solving angle between people that had no business being in the crime-solving business at all, right? There was a show on TV. I think it was 82 or 83. The show was called Lottery. And the only reason I know this was there was like a kind of one of these like websites that said here's the dumbest ideas for shows like ever of all time. There was a show called Lottery in which there was a lottery official who would go around the country and he would tell people they won the lottery. And his partner was an IRS agent who would make sure that, you know, you paid the taxes on your lottery winnings. Sounds like a boring TV show until you throw the fact in that they both solved crimes in the middle of delivering lottery payments to winners around the country. They would just happen to come into a town, go see Doris, who happened to win $1 million in the lottery, and the guy was ready to break out the IRS sheets. But oh, lo and behold, there would be a murder of a guy and they would solve the crime. And this was a common theme in television, I think, in most of the 80s and 90s, where authors solved crimes, doctors solved crimes, magicians solved crimes, psychics solved crimes. Name your profession. Have no business being a detective or at a crime scene whatsoever. And somehow they got to be detectives and solve crimes with a real police officer. Oh yeah, they got to go into houses that were broken into where dead bodies would be on the floor. Had no business being there, no credentials being there, but Hollywood didn't care. They made for good TV shows. So here is the same thing. Two broadcasters, no business solving crimes, yet solving crimes. I think that's entertaining. I think it's entertainment.
Absolutely. And my first experience with that was with the Globetrotters. They were in Scooby-Doo, I remember.
Yes, they were. They solved crimes, too. There was a cartoon called Super Harlem Globetrotters where each one of them had, like, a superpower. Like, Geese really? Osby could multiply himself. Like, he would multiply himself to get from point A to point B. Curly Neal had a big head. I don't know what his superpower was. But one of the other guys had an afro, and in the afro was anything he needed, like Batman's utility belt. Yeah, look it up. Look up Super Harlem Globetrotters, and you'll see what I mean.
Oh,
and
absolutely,
he had an afro. Like, if he needed like a grappling hook, he'd reach in his afro and he would get a grappling hook.
So whatever that was there.
Whatever was in, whatever he needed, he could get out of the afro. Yeah, it was totally 1970s. Yeah.
The climatic line from the first chapter of Friend of the Devil, not to give anything away, Dave Pash exclaims to the killer, I guess, "For the love of God, kill Bill Walton first." So this is going to be a trilogy, apparently.
Very good.
So look for it. I'm definitely going to buy my cover there.
That is amazing. Outstanding. That's outstanding. So, all right, what is the bad?
The bad, I don't know if you've seen this, the Old Men Face app.
I have. I don't like it. I hate it, actually. My friends are doing it, and I think it's dumb. But it's intriguing.
That's the thing. You kind of want to do it, right?
Yeah. I want to see how ugly I'm going to be when I'm like 75 years old.
Here's the bad about it, man. Like, don't you think it's weird that all of a sudden this app is taking a picture of your face and they can do whatever they want with it? According to their policies, they can do whatever they want with it. And second, guess where this app was developed from?
Okay, go ahead.
Russia.
Oh, God, forget it. This is bad. Stay away from this kind of stuff.
Right?
Man, we are gullible. We are a gullible public, man.
Everybody's doing
so
it.
Gullible.
Sports.
Everybody's doing it. And of course they want that. Listen, I've said this for a long time, and I'm not a sage wisdom of here. This is common sense. This has been said by more people than me, more powerful people than me. You guys have to start thinking about these things, and thinking about these things, not in some sort of conspiratorial form, but think about why they're doing it. When you have one of those surveys that says, "Hey, what Harry Potter character are you?" And you're like, "Yeah, I love Harry Potter. What character am I?" And the questions are like, you know, "What was your first pet? Where did you live?" Like, don't answer these questions.
Those
like,
are the questions they ask you for security.
Exactly. Like, I completely. When you see something on Facebook that says, "Hey, your mother's maiden name and the last four digits of your social security number, that's your rock star name. Yeah, woo-hoo!" Don't answer that question. Don't be like, Smith1618, yahoo! Don't do that.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Why do you think they're doing that? Do you think they're doing that because they think it's fun? Do you think they're doing that because they're like, you know what? People really want to know what Harry Potter character there will be. Hey, joke, why don't we create a survey of just completely irrelevant questions and just make it out there, make it fun. Like, hey, guess what? You're Hermione. Hey, you're Ron Weasley. Hey, you're Harry Potter himself. Or hey, you're Voldemort. Let's just make some fun. Let's, for no other business purposes whatsoever, than to just put a smile on people's faces. Do you think that's actually going down? Do you think it's actually going down? Are they mining you for every single bit of information they can? That's exactly what they're doing. So don't answer those stupid trivias. What Jeff Dunham puppet are you? Or anything like that. That's dumb. And do not, for the love of God, do that whole your birth date and your dog's name is your, you know, rock star name or your wrestler name or whatever it is. That is the dumbest. Don't fall for that. Been saying this forever, and nobody believes me. I still see the same dumb people doing it every single time. And I said, you know what? One day when you wake up and you post on Facebook, "Somebody stole all the money out of my checking account," you'll know why that happened. Right?
Oh my God, man. And some weird stories have been popping up on Twitter about the fact that, like I said before, on their terms of legal or whatever it's called, they say that they can use it for whatever they want. And apparently a woman noticed that it says that she didn't allow the app to use her camera roll on her phone. And yet they still access her pictures from her phone.
Of course they did.
So, I mean, I'm not a big theorist guy, but like, well, actually, I kind of am, but this definitely seems kind of shady for me to. They can take a picture of your face and use it as it's like that story that Ron used. It was a promo earlier where They could change your voice to make it sound like whatever celebrity. It's the same thing they're doing with your face. Same thing.
And you know what? Most of us will never feel the effects of this, but you know where you get, where you feel the effects of this is that if you want to run for office or you want, you become more famous in whatever it is industry that you do, maybe you're, you know, you're a prominent, tech person, you know, you're in high school now, but you become a prominent, they have all this on you now. Like whatever, whatever organization, they have all this information on you now and they'll dig up anything they can and they'll, you got to be really careful with this kind of stuff. I warn my kids about it all the time. I'm not a conspiracy crazy dad. You know, I don't put like aluminum foil on their heads to prevent the radiation waves from coming in. But I do tell my kids all the time, listen, all that stuff that you're posting, be really careful because you don't want to answer for this when you're 30 years old. Like, hey, when you were 15, you said this and this and this. Like, yeah. They have it all. They know it all. So
this kid don't listen, Tony.
Yeah, they don't listen.
They don't listen.
They don't care. Yeah. They don't care. They have no interest in that sort of the not. They're like, Dad, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, whatever. Okay, fine. Just don't come to me when your bank account's all drained. they will anyway. All right, what is the dumb?
The dumb. I don't know what you're going to be doing September 20th. It is a Friday, so you might have to ask off for the show. But
okay.
I do have a recommendation. You can storm Area 51.
I saw this, actually. This is dumb. This is when the aliens are released, okay? So you guys be careful storming Area 51. Because if they've got aliens in there, that's when they release the hounds. And they'll come and eat all of you.
That's what they're going to do? I mean, so 2 million people are supposedly going to this thing already.
Yeah, and it's all it takes is one soldier throwing his AK-47 in the air and throwing up some bullets and they all should scatter.
You will get think out of so. There. I mean, if
but this, 2 million people is a lot of people.
Out of these 2 million people, what do you think is the percentage that actually show up that are crazy enough to actually show up?
That's a good point. That's a good point. If they get 50,000, I'll be shocked.
Oh,
but that's
man,
still a lot of people.
Much
you think
less.
They could get more? Or much less?
Yes.
Yeah, this seems like a good idea now, and this seems like a really good idea to say you'll be there, but when push comes to shove, I doubt anybody will go.
I feel like there's 100 people out there who are dumb enough or are, brave enough, I guess.
Since we know where it is, why haven't we done this before? Like, Area 51 has been in my, like, I know, I mean, I'm in my 40s. It's been in my life my whole life. Like, Area 51... The Las Vegas minor league baseball team is called the 51s out of this.
Because
like,
no
why haven't we done this before?
No one has created an event on Facebook before to get
That's
everybody
true.
Together. To
But remember,
all
like, you could probably, you know, people knew of events like Woodstock without Facebook. You could have probably done this in the 80s.
How
in
did
some,
they know about Woodstock
way.
Before?
I don't know. I think I was just that's funny. I'd like to do. I think it was word of mouth, and then people weren't supposed to. It was a festival that was advertised, so you could buy tickets for it. And then it just became it. People just showed up. People just started showing up, and then next thing you know, it became the event that it was. But it was an actual music festival. Kind of like the fire festival.
Yeah.
But it actually was, no, we're going to have acts and we're going to have performance and we're going to have a stage and we're going to be on this farm and, you know, buy tickets. But then it turned into, hey, people were just showing up without tickets and it was just created the chaos.
To be honest, I don't know how anything worked before cell phones. So
that's very true. Good point. You're a young man and that's crazy. Yeah, but this is dumb. This is be very, very careful. Listen, by the way, a couple of things on this. If the government does, if there are aliens and a flying saucer and all of that in Area 51, like people believe me when I tell you this, they will protect that at all costs. And you don't want to be messing with the government when it has a super secret it wants to keep secret. You're not going to find that information. They will. It could get really ugly. In all seriousness, it could get really ugly. In all likelihood, they don't have anything. But they're still not going to let you just storm the base.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
The area. They're not going to let you.
It's a military base.
Yeah, it's a military base. They're not going to just let you just protest and storm the gates. They're not going to let you do that. All right. People are going to get hurt. Some people might get killed on this. I hope to God not. I really hope to God not. But don't mess around with this. This isn't like storming, you know, Google or Apple or Facebook or some company that you're trying to change their policy or protesting high ticket prices at Disneyland or whatever it is. This isn't something like that. This is a military base. Don't mess around with the government. Be careful. Like, you can protest outside the White House, But don't go near the military bases. Yep. They got to protect that thing with their life. Protest the government. Go to Congress. Go to D.C. Protest outside the offices of the representatives. Protest outside the office of the White House. Let your voice be heard there. Don't go to military bases, man. I just don't go to military bases.
The Air Force has responded to this, actually, saying pretty much what you said. Don't do it. This
don't
is where
it.
They do tests.
Yeah, don't do it. They're not messing around. So be careful. Be careful, all of you protesters. Maybe you will find aliens, but if you do, it'll probably be because it's biting your head off. Just saying. It's SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Hey, back to that Area 51 thing. I remember years ago, I was working at this network in Las Vegas, and I was working a show, and it was kind of fun. It was one of those... it's kind of like one of those consumer shows, you know, where a person would call up and say, oh, you know, my mutual fund is down 20 points and whatnot. And the guy would give you advice on that. Or you would say, like, oh, what's the best brand of refrigerator? And it was just kind of a weird talk show. But nevertheless, the guy was a little conspiratorial. And I remember, never forget, during a break, we were chatting and he goes, and this is kind of relevant because we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the launch to the moon. And then eventually in a couple of days, it's the moon landing, the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And I remember this host asking me, and he goes, do you know why we never went back to the moon? And I had no idea. I was probably like 26 or 25 at the time. And I was like, nah, I don't know why. He goes, yeah, the astronauts didn't like what they saw up there. And I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah, I'll send you some stuff. And he sent me a package. A thick package of photos and different like ways photographs were broken down, different shadows of what they think, what he, and this just evidence based on a lot of stuff at Area 51 that the astronauts saw these creatures on the moon. And then they got back to the Earth. They said, no mas, no mas. We're not going back up there. Yeah, well done.